Hello and a very warm welcome to this week's episode of the Blue Tune Podcast. With us this week, continuing with our guest interviews, is Peterhead defender David Wilson. The former Elgin City man looks ahead to next season and he gives us an update on his current injury situation.
Okay, I'd like to say on the podcast this week is Peterhead defender David Wilson. David, how are you? How are you doing this week?
Yeah, not too bad, Colin. How are you?
I'm not too bad. So enjoying the summer. I think this is the first time in about 2 or 3 years we've actually been able to enjoy our summer.
It was good. Obviously, it was an extended summer for me getting injured at the end of the season. So it was a few months instead of a few weeks. Just meant I've had to do a wee bit more running, start my pre-season a bit earlier to catch up with the rest of the boys.
Have you found that you've been able to do other things this year than this summer compared to what you've maybe been able to do in the last couple of summers?
Yeah, definitely. Me and my mates, we went over to Barcelona to watch the F1. So we went over there for a week. There was 6 of us went over, so that was good. Good to get the lads away. It's been a while. It's been almost 3 years, so it was good to get a lads holiday, definitely.
That's not cheap, so you must be getting well paid at Peterhead, aren't you?
I didn't get in the stand or anything, it was just general admission.
So we should start then. How is the injury, how is the rehab coming along then?
Yeah, it's good to go now. It's been a long few months, but now I've been back in with the boys again this week, going back to pre-season fully this week, and there's been no reaction, so I'm just building up my fitness now like everyone else, and hopefully by the time the first game comes around, they'll be good to go.
So will you be ready for the first game, or will it be a case of seeing how you go through the pre-season games?
I should be ready to go for the first game. You know, I was keeping up with the boys in the running. You know, not quite everyone's back yet from their holidays and whatnot, but the boys that were there, keeping up with them, and there's been no reaction. So, yeah, good first game as well against Aberdeen. So we're all building up towards that.
One that you'll be looking forward to anyway.
Definitely. Being from Aberdeen, it was the draw we all wanted, I think, all the North boys, so we were buzzing when we got it.
Just tell us about your injury then. How bad has it been for you in this last 4 or 5 months?
It's been tough. It happened in the Aloha game at the start of February. I just went to clear the ball and I kicked the bottom of the Aloha player's studs. I actually got booked for the tackle. It was just before half-time. And then something didn't feel right. Played on to half-time, and then I sat down in the changing room and then just couldn't put any weight on it at all. So immediately I knew something was up. Went to get an x-rayed at the hospital the next day. Nothing came back. So we thought, okay, it just must be really bad bone bruising. And then it still wasn't healing. So we went to get another x-ray about 3 weeks later. And that's when it revealed there was a massive crack in the bone in the top of my foot. So yeah, then it was in a boot for the best part of 2 months. And then I was just sort of just getting out of the boot just towards the end of the season. And then just basically started running properly again when the season was finishing. So yeah, it was a long, hard 2-3 months, definitely.
It wasn't the same boot that Cookie was wearing, was it?
It might have been, to be fair. It was one of those massive things. He was kind of, I think it was 2 or 3 in the club, so it could have been.
Such an innocuous challenge and then getting such a serious injury off it, isn't it?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it, to be fair. Like I say, it was something didn't feel right in the 5 minutes afterwards, just getting into half time, you know, didn't feel 100%. But then, honestly, when I sat there in the changing room, the gaffer spoke for 5 minutes, tried to stand back up, and I just couldn't. So it was, you know, the reaction was quite sudden, and then yeah, just after that it was really struggling to walk for the best part of a month, I think.
So how are you when you're out injured? Are you a frustrated kind of figure, or do you just sort of take it as it comes?
I was frustrated to start off with. So it was the Dundee game the next week. You know, it was on TV, so I was the first bit was definitely frustrating, and not knowing specifically what it was, that and not knowing how long it was going to be, that was the thing that was annoying me. But once you get the proper diagnosis, it's like, look, that's you for the season. You're done. Then you just got to accept it, and at least you've got a time frame to work to try and get back. So it's once I got the time frame, I was a wee bit better. But definitely missing the Dundee game was I was frustrated with that.
So what was your thoughts on last season overall then? A difficult season for most, but in the end we got a good run and obviously stayed in the league. So what was your thoughts overall?
Yeah, definitely. You know, there was a stat, I think we lost, it was a large majority of the games by one goal. So we always felt we were in games, and it was the final pass, you know, the final, both boxes, we were just coming up short. But no, we always had belief that we could turn it around. And we've seen the last six or seven games, you know, the run we put together, and we felt as a squad that was coming, and it was long overdue. But finally, the performances that we were putting in were finally getting results at the end of the season. So obviously, from where we were, you know, down in eighth, ninth, to finish the season the way we did was good, and the finishing position in the end was good. But of course, you always want more. You want to be challenged at the top end of the league rather than the bottom.
Yeah, I think at half time at the last game of the season, we were actually sitting fifth, which just shows you how tight this league can be.
Yeah, exactly. We were saying it. You know, it was three or four of us in the stand injured looking at the league table, and you know, a top half finish from where we were. You know, we were ninth just a few weeks before that. Would have been excellent, but I think it was seventh in the end. So it's definitely something to build on for next season, and it's just a shame we couldn't keep more of the squad together for next season because felt we were really building something.
What was the conversations like during that tricky time, sort of February, March time, where just results weren't going? How were you guys able to keep going?
Yeah, I mean, the gaffer was always, you know, as positive as you can be when you're not winning games. You know, I think he recognised we were a young squad, and it wasn't as if we weren't creating chances or we weren't, you know, just the final pass or the final shot of goal just wasn't coming in. But we're always in games and we were playing some quite good football. So you know, he really kept our heads up, kept it as positive as we could be. Obviously, there was a lot of frustration among us that the results weren't coming. But no, he kept our heads up, kept saying that it will turn for you, I believe in you. And the last six or seven games, it came through.
It was getting tight, it was getting close, but we got there in the end.
I was, especially I couldn't do anything about it the last few months. I was sitting there watching like you, so I was like, I'm not. It's getting closer. And then there was a Dumbarton game up at Balmoral. We went 3-0 up, and they got two men sent off, and they came back into it, and it was, you know, that was a big win to hold on there. And then from there, I think it was another couple of dodgy results, and then we were able to push on again.
How would you sum up your own performance then? You had 15 games before your injury. So how would you sort of establish yourself, your time in those games?
Yeah, I thought I did all right. I think it took me a wee while to get up to speed in terms of fitness. So in the summer, I obviously left Elgin. And then I went on trial down at Dumbarton. And Dumbarton offered me a contract. And then the very next training session, I did my hamstring. So I was out for 6 weeks. So not really having a proper pre-season. Mm. And it was tough. And then, you know, I got back from that and then started training myself for a couple of weeks. And then I just messaged Jim. I got his number off of one of my old coaches. I was seeing if I could come along and train for a couple of weeks. Obviously, not really knowing what to expect. Obviously, it's a league up from where I was playing. It's definitely a step up, definitely. I think a lot of people say the difference between League 1 and League 2 is not a lot, but it is in terms of quality, in terms of the pace of it. So going in, I didn't really know what to expect. And then, obviously, I was delighted to sign. And then I was on the bench for the game down at Queen's Park, and the first half we got battered. I think it was only 1-0, but it was 1-0 going on 5 or 6. And I was able to come on at half time in that game, and then from there I was just trying to play my way into it. But I feel like I was getting stronger and stronger as the game's gone. I certainly felt more comfortable playing at this level, and then obviously the injury happened, and that was that.
You played in a couple of different positions. You were in a back three. You played at right back as well. Did those positions suit you, or would you much rather be playing just as a centre half?
No, I enjoyed playing, especially as a back three. I thought me, Andy, and Jason. I thought we had quite a decent partnership going between the three of us there. Especially at the time when we had Josh, who was, you know, we all know how good he is going forward. So, you know, with the three of us just sitting all the time, was sometimes sat in front, and it just gave him license just to bomb on. So I think that formation definitely worked for us at the time. But I played, when I was at Elgin, I played the back three, right centre half, and right back in a back four. So it's something I'm used to. Growing up, I always played centre half, and occasionally just in front of the back four. But ever since I've gone into the first team, it's always been a right back. So I'm pretty comfortable at both.
When you're watching Josh playing the way he did, he was just unstoppable at times. And given he'd missed an entire season the year before because of injury, it just shows you how talented a player he is.
Definitely, you've seen him go from strength to strength at Dundee. Now he's starting to get in the last few games. He was starting to play. He scored a couple of goals. But I had the easiest job. But my job was just get the ball, give it to Josh, and let Josh go and run with it. So it was made my game very simple. That was the message. Give it to Josh, and you know we all seen why he just glided past players. He doesn't even look that quick, but just the way he glides past people is just unbelievable. So no, we've seen him do well at Dundee, and hopefully goes on to have a good career.
It's maybe just as well you didn't decide for Dumbarton in the end, then.
I was thinking it would have been a struggle. That's the best thing that would have happened to me, I think. Missed out on loads of travelling and then would have got relegated in the end. So, maybe doing the hamstring wasn't such a bad thing in hindsight.
It was maybe a blessing in the end. How important was it, the Aberdeen boys, for you to help you settle into the team then?
Yeah, definitely. It was, you know, when I first joined, we only had, you know, maybe four or five Aberdeen boys, but I don't really know any of them. But obviously, travelling down and travelling training, you know, you get to know them really quickly, and it's a really good group. You know, everyone's a really good group here. You know, there's no real bad eggs. Nobody that's really that big time at all, which is rare. So you know, travelling up and down the road with them, you know, it's been really good. And then also we signed Ryan, we signed Jack later on as well. So you know, we had quite a good group of us going down on the bus. So it was really good.
Did you play with Andy Elgin as well, or did you pass right at best?
Yeah, so I played with Andy for, was it one or two seasons there, and then obviously we've signed Conor O'Keefe now. I played with him for a couple of seasons at Elgin as well, so that's another one that I know.
It makes it easier for you to settle in as a new signing, I guess, with these faces that you know, and it helps you bed in a little bit quicker, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely, you know, you can talk about the same things, you know, we can talk about the time at Elgin. Brett was up at Elgin for a bit as well, I think he was just before I was there. But, you know, it's things that you've got in common with people, you know, because obviously you go into a room with 20 guys and you don't really know anything about each other. It can be quite daunting to start off with, but if you've got a couple of things in common, you know, you start a conversation there, and then it just, before you know it, you're slagging each other off, and it's great. It's a good laugh.
It's like starting a new job, isn't it? And you just try to find something you can speak about. And obviously, if you've played with some of these guys before, or if you're from the same area, it makes it easier.
Yeah, exactly. It's a nightmare when you ask them what football team they support, and they say, oh, I don't really like football. You're like, oh, don't know what I'm going to speak about with you then. So it's definitely good to have a few things in common and a few people you know in common as well.
So let's chat a little bit more about you, yourself. What was your earliest memories of football or playing or watching?
So watching, when I was younger, my dad took me along to all the Aberdeen games from when I was about five, I think. So that's probably my earliest memory, watching and then playing. I signed for a Cove Boys club when I was nine, did a season there, and then was 6 years at Aberdeen. And then got released from there when I was 15, 16, and then went up to Elgin. So yeah, it's not been through too many clubs, not as many as some people, but no, it's been good. Always been a defender. I played centre mid in my one season at boys club, and then as soon as I went to Aberdeen, it was you're playing defence, and then I've been there ever since. So it's something that I'm used to now.
So who's your coaches at Aberdeen then?
So we had Scott Duncan at under 10s with Marshall at 11s. I can't remember his last name. Then we had Gavin Levy, who's now head of performance or something in the youth academy at Aberdeen, and Stuart Glennie, who's the head of the performance school at Aberdeen. We had Chip McClelland for a season. Scott Anderson as well the last season.
Did you ever get the first team players coming in, coaching you at any time, or simply?
Declan McManus came and took a couple of sessions. Barry Robson was just starting his coaching badges at the time as well. Just when I was leaving, I think they were they would have been the only two first team players.
There's fantastic facilities they've got up at Cormac Park now for these youngsters. It's a phenomenal place they've got up there.
It's unbelievable. Some of the North boys we trained with for Martin a couple of times, and they train at Cormac Park, and the surface there is lovely. It's huge. It's bigger than what you think it's going to be as well, and there's loads of Astros, loads of top quality grass pitches. It's something that was long overdue, because when I was started at Aberdeen, it was playing at the university fields at Balgownie. So to go from that to seeing what they've got now is I'm quite jealous.
I know, it's amazing that they've taken so long to get a facility like that, when, you know, a lot of the success they had in the 80s, early 90s, you'd have thought they would have had something in long before then, but for reasons unbeknown to us.
Yeah, exactly. It was, I remember we used to go away to, like, when I was younger, go away to the Hibs, and the Hibs training ground was lovely. The Hearts training ground was at Orium, you know, it was Celtic, Atlantic, Stein Rangers at Murray Park. And then we just had, like, a uni playing field. So considering the similar size of clubs, you know, the difference in the youth setups was quite stark. But now they've got it together. I think you see it now. I think the under-14s just won a tournament in Europe.
That's right.
So, you know, it's obviously it's benefiting them, and the next group of players coming through should hopefully benefit from that.
So what's your thoughts on Aberdeen this last season then?
Hard to watch. It wasn't great. I've still got a couple of mates there that I played when I was younger, so I can't slag them off too much. But it was, yeah, just I think, especially on the glass, the dominating games, but just not scoring goals at all. Mm. You know, it's both boxes just conceding too many, not scoring enough, and you know, despite all the possession, it wasn't great. And then obviously since Goodwin's come in, you know, it's he'll have a chance to rebuild this summer. You've seen him signing someone from a Hungarian team, so that's going to be a complete unknown. And I'm sure we'll see how good they are when they rock up at Valmir on the 10th.
So I say the good thing for you, not qualifying for Europe means that they're in the early stages of the League Cup, and I think the chances of us getting them in the group probably would have been diminished slightly with the North-South divide being taken away. But incredibly, we've obviously been drawn, so obviously it's going to be a good occasion, a good day that day.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think it'll be pretty much a sellout. If not, I'm pretty sure it'll be a sellout. So it'll be a good atmosphere, first game of the season. You know, we've got every faith that we can go and really match them. You know, especially at Balmoor. Hoggy's got us doing lots of running. Like it was a 9K on Tuesday night, and then tonight we just come back. It was an 11K run. You know, total, so it's different speeds, different distances. So yeah, I think we're definitely going to be fit enough, and you know, we've definitely got the quality as well to really go and give it a go, and we definitely believe that we can really make a name for ourselves in the group.
He's a bit of a machine as well as Hobie, yeah.
Tell me about that. He's got 81, 82, still trekking up the road all the time, and yeah, the running sessions are old school, and you feel like you're dying during it, but afterwards you actually feel really good. So it must be doing something right for you, but at the time it's that nightmare.
Let's get back to you then. You mentioned obviously you're released by Aberdeen. Was that obviously a difficult time for you to take that decision?
Yeah, I think so, especially being there for 6 years. Obviously 15 year old, just the way to set your exams. You know, it was quite a challenging time. It was something that I probably seen coming. The last season, I wasn't playing as much, and two age groups were merging into one. It's like all the way up it was like 10s, 11s, 12s, and then it was a jump, so it was two age groups combining. So I kind of seen it coming, and I think in the end, it's one of the best things that's happened to me. You know, I see many people that I was there with that go full time, then get released, and then they've, you know, they find it difficult to then drop down to part-time, find it difficult to find a job. So, you know, getting released before I went full-time, you know, it's probably worked out in my favour. And then from there, I had a few offers to go trial at Dundee, to go trial at Montrose. And then one of my old coaches was up at Elgin, so that's how I ended up there, training up there, you know, travelling up there twice a week. So the travelling was a lot, but it was worth it. He's a really good coach and convinced me to go up there, and I was there for 5 years.
How does the club tell you that's it, you're done? Did they sit you down or did they give you a letter? How did they do it?
So we got a meeting. So at the end of every season, everyone gets called in for a meeting, just to discuss your progress. You know, if they're going to keep you or let you go for the next season. So we've seen it coming because there was about 8 or 9 boys on one day, and then there was 4 or 5 of us on the other day. So you knew it was coming, and then you went to Pataudry. You sat down with the two coaches, which at the time was Chick and Mark Hemsley, and the head of youth, so it was Simi at the time. And they just said basically, thanks for everything you've done. You know, we'll help you find a new club. We'll keep in touch with you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as hard as it was to take, they were pretty good about it, to be fair. So you go in, have the 10-minute meeting. They tell you you're not needed for next season, and then you all go find somewhere else.
Actually, leaving Pataudry for the last time and just not knowing what to do next.
Yeah, pretty much. So it was a strange one because I was at the performance school at Hazelhead. So there was going to school the next day, and you were seeing boys that are staying for next season. There was 4 of us that had been released that went to school, so it was a weird sort of atmosphere after some of these had been let go. Most of them hadn't. It was strange, but it was everyone was really good about it. To be fair, you know, I can't speak out enough of everyone.
Did you take time to adapt to the travelling up to Elgin twice a week?
Yeah, I think my dad definitely did those. I was too young to drive at that time, so it was my dad that was taking me up Tuesday, Thursday. Spending lots of money on petrol. I don't know if you can manage it now. I mean, the price of petrol now is through the roof. So it was a big adjustment. It was, you know, instead of just going for an hour and a half training session, it was, you know, the best part of 2 hours in rush hour getting up to Elgin, hour and a half training session, hour and a half back. So yeah, it did take a little bit of adjustment. And I remember the first season I went up with the first team, every Wednesday night we were training in Aviemore. So I was going Aberdeen, Aviemore every Wednesday, which is, you know, just over 2 hours. Mm. So that was definitely a lot, to you know, coming from just Aberdeen and nothing else to going up there. But it was well worth it in the end.
Did you feel it was beneficial though? Did you feel as though you were getting somewhere though?
Yeah, you felt a lot closer to getting to a first team. You know, within a couple of seasons, you know, when I was 16, 17, I was up training with the first team, you know, 1 or 2 nights a week. Mm-hmm. And then they got me out on loan in the Highland League as well, so I was at Lossiemouth for a season. So, you know, it really brought forward going into adult football. You know, I mean, I was in the Highland League, like 17, mm-hmm. You know, I was playing, so I think that definitely benefited me. You know, it's completely different to youth football. You're playing with men, there's something on the line, there's 3 points on the line every week. I was at Lossie, so I was quite busy at the back because we weren't very good. We were down the bottom of the league, which also probably helped me. You know, I played every week there. So it was really good from the disappointment of getting released, you know, under 15s, under 16s to chuck into the Highland League in less than 2 years. I grew up a lot during that time.
It did make you maybe found as well that some of these older guys were maybe picking on you a little bit, saying, "Oh, he's a scrawny 17-year-old. We'll see what he's made of."
Yeah, some of the tackles were a lot stronger than what I was used to. Definitely, you know, the lads in training were really good. To be fair, it was a really good group we had at Lossie, really good guys. But yeah, going away to locals or Fraserburgh, we were on the end of some doings that we got done 6 or 7. A few times. Some of the tackles flying in there was, especially playing centre-half as well, so you've gone from playing against people your own age to playing against people that are 33, 34, experienced pros. You know, I just come out as a 17-year-old, like, okay, it was definitely a culture shock, but it's something now that 5 years down the line, it's definitely held me in good stead.
Must have been a bit of a mixed kind of feeling. So obviously, you mentioned you're getting battered every game, more or less, and so it must have been slightly disheartening, but at the same time, you know you're learning the game a little bit more as well.
Yeah, exactly. So I think there was a couple of teams I could have went to in the Highland League that season, but, you know, we spoke with Elgin and they said that, you know, I'm guaranteed to play every week at Lossie. You know, it's, even though, you know, the results might not be coming, you'll be conceding a lot of goals. You know, it's, the important thing is your development and you're getting game time, which is so crucial. You see loads of young players, you know, come in, have a few good games, and then they end up on the bench for months and months and months.
Yeah.
And you never hear from them again. So, yeah, it was, even though it was disheartening to lose that many games, it was a great time, and I really enjoyed my time up there. And like I say, it's put me in good stead for going up the levels.
And how proactive were Elgin during your loans period? Were they actively giving you feedback or watching you what you were doing as well?
So they were in contact with the manager at Lossie, pretty much on a weekly basis, just asking how I was getting on. I was still training with Elgin once a week, so it was Elgin on the Tuesday and Lossie on the Thursday. So I was still in and around the first team. And obviously Gavin Price was the manager at Elgin. He was asking me how I was getting on. I think they sent a couple of people to watch me a couple of times. If Elgin had a home game, they'd go to the Lossie game. Or if Elgin was away, then a couple of them would come to the Lossie game. It was only 5 or 6 miles from Elgin. And just keep an eye on my progress.
And you were in the first team fairly young, 18, 19 year old, were you?
Yeah, it would have been the season after the Lossie, so I think 18, I would have made my debut. So I think my first game for Elgin was away at Arbroath, chasing after Bobby Lynn for 90 minutes. And I think my second game was at home at Dundee United. So that was obviously a huge step up compared to what I was used to. And from then on, I had a really good start to that season. I think I played 16 or 17 times in the back three. And Craig Beattie was the middle centre half, so he's obviously very experienced. Really taught me through the game, really helped me out as a young player. And I grew me up as well, having Big Beats shouting at you all the time to win headers and make clearances and stuff like that. So that was a good season. Definitely was my first season coming into it.
So it's a bit like Jason doing now then, that you know.
A wee bit. I think Beats was even more aggressive, to be honest. He was a wee bit older and just didn't care, so he was just screaming. At least with Jason, it's a wee bit more constructive sometimes.
how crucial was Gavin Price in your early development? How important was he to give you that confidence?
Yeah, definitely. Early on, it was really good. You know, playing loads of games, playing adult football 18, 19, playing in leagues. It was really good. Him and his assistant Keith Gibson. You know, Gibby's a great guy. I think you had him on the podcast long ago, didn't you? Yeah, he's a great guy, great coach. He's obviously based in Dundee, so he used to travel up. There was three or four of us travelled up to Elgin. So you know, they were really good. Gibby's sessions was unbelievable, to be fair. And I don't think it's a coincidence that when he left, Elgin's results started going downhill a wee bit.
The following sort of 2 years, COVID dominated things. So how was your experience of that 2 years? You know, football being stopped and then started again, no fans. What was your experience of it?
Yeah, playing without fans was a strange one. Definitely, it felt like pre-season games, you know, behind closed doors games.
Yeah.
But what was even weirder was when the social distance fans came back. And everyone was standing 2 metres apart with masks on, not saying anything. So you looked up and there was just loads of people, but just not saying anything, not making any noise with masks on. That was a strange time. And yeah, I think towards the end of Elgin, I didn't play as much as what I'd like to, as what I probably thought I should be playing. And then just before the end of last season, someone got injured. So I played like the last three or four games, which got us into the playoffs. And then, you know, I think we won three out of the last four, kept two or three clean sheets to sneak into the playoffs. And then the playoffs came and I was back on the bench again. So I felt like I'd earned my chance at playing in the playoffs, you know, a chance to try and get them up. But then it obviously didn't go my way and we ended up getting knocked out by Edinburgh. So I think that was part of the reason I think that I didn't want to stay up there any longer.
Was that the season where I think there was like a fog papers between like four teams in terms of finishing the playoff? For that, right?
So I think Queen's Park were running away with it, and then there was us, Stirling, Stranraer, and another team. There was 2 points between the four of us from second to fifth. going into the last three or four games. So that was a really exciting time, especially I didn't play too much before that, so getting chucked into that was really exciting. And we beat Stirling, beat Stranraer, drew with Queen's Park. I can't remember what the other team was. But yeah, it was a really exciting time that I think the split was actually a really good thing for the lower leagues. I don't know if I want it so much now, but back then with it being so close, it definitely was.
You say your time was coming up. Was that a bit like the Aberdeen thing? You sort of knew it was coming, and that was the end was coming.
So Elgin offered me a 2-year contract, which I turned down. And because they'd offered, even though I was out of contract, because they'd offered me 2 years, they were then entitled to compensation for me. So it made any move anywhere really difficult. Last summer, so it was a hard one because I felt like my development was stalling at Elgin. All the travelling was getting to me. I wasn't playing as much as what I wanted to. It was always getting a wee bit on top of me, and I wasn't enjoying football quite as much as what I was before. So I thought, right, I need to take a risk, turn down the contract, and then even though I was out of contract, they were entitled to compensation. So they asked for $5,000. Which I'm currently paying myself, which is, it's not ideal. I think, they're entitled to it, so fair enough. Yeah. I think if a player is going from a part-time team to another part-time team, I don't know if the compensation rule should really exist. You know, it's $5,000 to a 21-year-old, is a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Whereas to the clubs it's not quite so much. So it was a shame it ended like that, Elgin, because I did really enjoy it. It was just the last few months, and then the compensation thing, which they are entitled to it. So yeah. It's fair enough. I just feel like they maybe shouldn't have enforced it, based off of I'd been up there for 5 years, I'd given everything. I've never fallen out with anyone, never had an issue with anyone. But that's football, that's the way it goes.
So if it didn't have the compensation, you might have gotten the stand tickets at the Grand Prix, didn't you?
Exactly. I think I was paying it. It's $2,500 up front, and then it's coming $2,500 coming out of my Peterhead wages over the length of the contract. So it's just coming out on a monthly basis just now. So it'd be good at the end of next season when that's over. Definitely.
So it's going from one hand to the other. Going by pretty quick.
Yeah, pretty much. It's not ideal just now.
So you would have also known quite a bit about Peterhead, having played against them a few occasions. Was that one of the reasons why you wanted to come?
Yeah, definitely. It was something, every time we played against them, like, you beat us. There was a stage where Elgin didn't score against Peterhead in it felt like 400 games every time. There was obviously the 7-0 game, which I wasn't involved in. I was out on loan at that time. At Balmer, and then every time it was always 2-0, 2-0, 3-0, 1-0. But back then I thought Peterhead were a really experienced team, knew how to win games, knew how to get the job done. They had Stevenson at right back, they'd Stein in the middle of the park, they had Scott Brown. They had really experienced players. So when I came in and it was a really young squad, it was very different. We were going through a bit of a transitional period at the time where a few of the older guys had left, and it was bringing in young players, so it was really good. All the guys were top class first few sessions, and the standard of player at Peterhead is really high. It's really high. Training's really good, really high intensity, especially with size sessions last year. They were really good. Then I'm sure Jordan's sessions will be exactly the same.
Was that something that Jim had mentioned to you, that he wanted to get a younger squad in, younger players, try and move away from what we've been previously, is bringing in experienced players?
Yeah, I think you can really see what he was building here last season. It was players like myself was 21, Grant was 21, Jack's coming in that's 20, Naya's only 23, 24, Rusty's 23. It made players like Jason, one of the older players, and he's only, 25, 26. Mm. So it was, I think it was quite a big change from what, and the style of play changed as well. Peterhead were always a relatively direct team, hard, very hard to play against. Whereas now, as you see, when you come watch week in, week out, it's playing out from the back, trying to get into McCarthy in the middle of the park, out to the wingers. So I think it was a transition in terms of, the style of play and the age of the players as well. We're a pressing team now as well. So I think maybe at the start of the season, that's why the results weren't coming. It was just taking a wee bit of time to turn. But now, towards the end of the season, it did.
Yeah, you mentioned Simon's training and things like that. How different were his sessions then? Because a lot of people speak highly of his training methods.
Yeah, his sessions were really good. Really high intensity, lots of small-sided possession, 5v3s, 6v2s. It's tight boxes and it's one touch, and there's a real demand on the pressers to go and win the ball back, to go and press properly like what you would on a Saturday. Especially we only get together once a week, as a whole group. So it was really good to get those really high intense sessions. And to be fair, he took most of the training last year, and it was absolutely first class. I couldn't speak highly enough of his training.
You mentioned that Jordan taking over coaching. How do you see that going? Do you think he's going to take it to like a duck to water?
Yeah, I'm sure he will. He's really good in amongst the lads. He's one of the more experienced players now. He was out leading the running tonight, so he's already taken some sessions. I'm sure he'll take parts of sessions throughout the season as well. And obviously, he's still got ambitions to play. His season last year was hampered by his hamstring injury, and then he struggled to get fully match fit after that. So he's still got ambitions to play. So I think first of all he'll be a player, but also I think he's been in contact with Si, getting some tips off Si and what to do. So I'm sure it'll be a seamless transition.
I know. I think he's the oldest player in the squad now, and he's only 29 really. And so in terms of footballing wise, it's not that old, but he's the oldest one in the squad.
It's incredible. I think we've only got, 10 signed players maybe? So it's, we definitely need a few more in the next few weeks definitely. And we had 7 at training on Tuesday, and there's 3 of us out running tonight. So the numbers will naturally get bigger as time goes on. But yeah, I'm sure Jim's got a couple of things in the works.
Yeah, as you said, there's still a few on holiday as well, so they'll be coming back shortly, hopefully. But they'll be coming back.
Yeah, exactly. We're desperate for numbers just now. There's no goalies either just now, so that's like, I see Lenny just signed for Brechin as well. That was announced this afternoon. So yeah, we need two new goalies. So the sooner we get them in, the better, so we can get the ball out a bit more and do some games instead of just running.
I get hoggy off your back for a while.
Exactly.
So what's your thoughts on the coming season? Then it's obviously going to be another difficult one in terms of the league. Obviously, we've now got Queen of the South and Dunfermline joining us. There's more full-time teams, as well as obviously Celtic coming up, Edinburgh as well joining us. So another difficult season ahead, do you think? Or is it something that excites you, going up against these teams?
It's definitely exciting. You want to go and play in front of the biggest crowds possible, in front of the best players possible. You want to test yourself against that. And I'm sure, I think we did last year, we'll give a very good account of ourselves. Obviously, it's difficult to set targets just now when I don't even think we can field the starting 11. So it's really difficult. But as you see, there's probably 3 or 4 teams making noises about winning the league. Another 2 or 3 that would be very disappointed if they didn't get, weren't up there at least challenging. So it's definitely going to be interesting, but just like last season, we can more than hold our own in this league. And I was speaking to a couple of the boys that were full time last season, and they were surprised by how fit we were. As a part time club, I think you see that. The game down at Falkirk, we were finishing the stronger team down there, and it was like that against Queen's Park up here as well. So. Even though we're only part-time, that's not an excuse. The boys are disciplined enough to go out running themselves, to do a bit of ball work, to go and do some one-to-one sessions during the week. So, it's being the part-time team, or there's going to be 3 or 4 part-time teams, it's not an excuse. Last season we more than held our own, so I'm sure we'll do the same thing again.
And what of yourself then? You're looking forward to possibly playing in a back three again, or is it going to be a back four, or has that not been sort of discussed yet?
Yeah, I think it's very early days just now in terms of formations. We'll need to see what players we can get in. But, I think the players we've got in just now can adapt to whether it's a back three, back four, midfield four, midfield three. The players can more than adapt to it. I think it'll depend on the personnel we bring in the next few weeks. And then I'm sure Jim will assess the squad and pick the best formation that suits the players.
What have you made of your time at Peterhead? Obviously, it's been brief, obviously, because of the injury, but what have you made of the fans, the stadium, the whole experience? Have you enjoyed it so far?
I can't speak highly enough. I'm really enjoying it, you know, especially after the difficult last few months before I came here. As honestly, everyone's been first class, from the physio team. You know, Greg's had an excellent physio, from Hobby to the coaches, to Jim, to the players, to the fans. You know, everyone's really been first class, really supportive. You know, you go to some grounds and you see the fans get on players' backs very quickly. Doesn't happen near as much as Peterhead. You know, it's one thing Si said to me when I first came in. He was like, go and play here. You know, in comparison to other clubs, you're not under as much pressure from the fans, because they expect us, you know, that we are going to make mistakes sometimes, you know, especially with the way they're playing, but they want to see good football. And hopefully at the end of the season, the results made the fans very happy, and as a thing for them for sticking with us through the difficult times of the season.
I think Si was making a couple of friends with the away supporters at one of the games towards the end of the season, getting a bit of stick, which I guess comes with the territory if you're Simon Ferry.
Yeah, absolutely. I think down at the Airdrie game, the last game of the season, there was quite a few laughs when he put it through their own net. We were sitting surrounded by Airdrie fans, and once they stopped giving Rico abuse, he was our next target. So it was, some of the comments were quite funny, to be fair. Just comes with you when you've got a podcast like he does and is in the public eye. That's the way it goes, isn't it?
Yeah, never officially scored a Peterhead goal, scored a goal for Peterhead, but then scores an own goal in his last one. You couldn't have liked it, could you?
Nah, the only man that scored minus one goals for a club. So seriously, he's going to be a big miss next season. He was excellent on the park and off the park. You know, he'd send through loads of clips of you. He'd go back and rewatch the game from the Saturday, and he'd send me through loads of clips on the Monday of what I could do better, what I did well on the WhatsApp. So he's definitely going to be a big miss next season, just in the dressing room as well. So, but yeah, it was a funny moment that.
And talking of goals, is getting a goal yourself, is that one of the targets you want to get that off your back?
Absolutely. I should have probably scored last season. There was a game against Queen's Park. I think it was 1-1 at the time. I think we ended up winning 2-1 in the end. There was a corner, someone's flicked on the front post, and I'm at the back post. I've slid in, I'm about a yard out, and the goalie's come out of nowhere and saved it. So that was one. I came close somewhere else as well. But yeah, definitely get on the score sheet next season. That would be an excellent feeling. Obviously, clean sheets come first, kind of. But scoring goal is the best part, isn't it? Let's be honest.
So, if you score the winner on a 2-1 victory, it doesn't matter what happens at the other end, does it?
Well, exactly. You see that the strikers take all the glory. They can be rubbish for 8 or 9 minutes and then score the winner. So then it's all forgotten about. So yeah, one or two games like that, if I was to come in and score the winner, it wouldn't be too bad.
Is there a bit of a competition between the defenders who can get mere goals, or is that just something that doesn't happen?
To be fair, we didn't really speak about it too much last season. I don't think Andy scored either, and I think Jason maybe got one or two, did he?
Jason got one, I think it was.
We got one in my first game. It was against Dumbarton, I remember that. I don't think Andy scored, despite all the free kicks he took last season. I think we might need to start scoring a few more goals as a collective before we start having any competitions.
That's what I say. Is one of Jordan's sessions going to be free kick taker?
I hope so. Our set pieces were rubbish last year, weren't they? Free kicks, the corners. I can't really remember scoring from too many corners either, apart from Rusty. Rusty got a couple. Obviously, we don't know if he's going to be here next season or what's happening with him. I think he's on holiday just now. Set pieces. I think maybe that's the one side of the game that we lose out on, not being together. It's just working on things like set pieces. You know, it's 10 minutes at the end of a session sort of thing. But obviously, if you've only got boys together an hour and a half during the week, or 2 hours throughout the week, it's not a priority. So I think maybe that's one thing that we do miss out on. But hopefully, you know, we'll get all the boys together on Saturday and hopefully work on a few set pieces and give me a break from the running.
And it goes without saying, but you'll be hoping for an injury-free season as well.
Absolutely. Injuries are a nightmare. You know, I've had a couple. When I was younger, I had problems with my calves, but the last few years they seem to have cleared up. So actual muscle injuries is fine. Just hopefully I don't go booting the bottom of my guy's studs again and be out for 3 months. That would be a good start.
But you got to make sure this, if you're booting the ball for him, you take him out and the other way around.
No, the other way around. Yeah, I couldn't believe it when I got back in the dressing room. I was like, oh no, you knew it was going to be a long time thing. Like, this is really not good. So no, but back, start fresh this season and good to go. Can't wait.
Good to go, ready to go, and back fitter and stronger.
Exactly, definitely. You know, I've been doing running now pretty much since the season ended. So obviously building up really slowly from where I was. You know, I was struggling to run at all. You know, for the first couple of sessions. So building up, I'm now feeling on the same level as the boys that are back already. So it's good to go. I'm sure we've got, I think it's a friendly, the little tournament up in Elgin is the first game. So good to get some match fitness as well, and then onto the League Cup and then the league.
Into the nitty gritty.
Yeah, exactly. The League Cup's all well and good, but the league's the most important thing at the end of the day. But no, like if we can, you know, the first two games in the League Cup are obviously tough. Aberdeen, home, Wraith away. But if we can pick up maybe a win out of that, you know, the last two games are definitely ones that we really should be winning. And you know, it's two League Two teams we're playing, so we're going to that a favourite. So if we can stick in there the first two games and give ourselves a chance, you know, hopefully we can push on the last two and maybe cause an upset and try and get out of the group.
I like your positivity. That's what I like to hear.
We need to get a start in 11 first, though, so maybe I'm getting
it. Anyway, right, on that note then, I will thank you again for coming on, and thanks for your time. I appreciate having a wee chat, and I wish you all the best for the coming season.
No worries, thank you very much, and hopefully do this again at some point.
Big thank you to David once again for his time, and we look forward to an injury-free season for him. I do hope you've enjoyed it once again, and thanks again for listening. We'll be back again next week, so until then, stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon. Cheers.